Welcome back to Business Isn't Hard, and welcome to part four of my mini-series summarizing the key takeaways from my thesis project. So, if you've been following along so far, I'm going to give you a quick recap of what we've been through. In part one, we broke down what success actually looks like for today's business leaders, not just in financial terms, but through five key elements: personal fulfillment, financial well-being, personal growth, energizing work, and helping others. In part two, we explored the seven mindset attributes shared across almost every leader I interviewed. These included growth, attitude, service, or how can I help, resilience, focus, self-awareness, and authenticity. Then, in part three, we brought those things together through what I call the learning leading spiral. The idea is basically that business growth isn't linear. The best leaders constantly move back and forth between learning and leading states. They are always seeking new information, applying it, reflecting, and then teaching others through the experience. It's a continuous loop that drives both personal and organizational growth. So, in part four, we're turning to the most practical question of all. Basically, how do these principles actually show up in real life? How can I actually apply the spiral, the mindset attributes, you know, even just how can I find those five attributes of success? So this episode is going to be about application, how the most successful people I spoke with actually live out the learning and the leading spiral and the seven different mindset traits. Are you ready? Let's get started. Okay, let's start with the learning phase. Really the first half of most careers, but also, you know, the kind of the first element in whatever scale cycle you're talking about. So this is really when you're focused on exploring, focused on building skills, figuring out what energizes you. Across interviews, four really common applications stood out, and I'm going to list them out for you here, and we'll talk a little bit more about them. Relationships, proactivity, the little things, and learning effectively. So we'll start with relationships. Again, as a reminder, at its core, the learning leading spiral is all about people. No matter how talented or ambitious you are, opportunities tend to come from connections. And the most successful people are the ones who understand that from a really early stage. Christy Nyck really put this one best. She said, "People will forget what you said or did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel." That emotional impression, making someone feel valued, feel supported, and genuinely understood, is really what builds lasting relationships. You always need to be focused on how can you build and strengthen relationships, the people around you. The consistent message from leaders like Devante Cummings and Bill Binch was really simple. People want to help you. You just have to ask. People are out there and will want to guide you and help you and speak to you, but they will not come to you. You have to ask them. So curiosity, active listening, and really genuine interest in the person turn surface level interactions into meaningful relationships. And as Dave McClurg said, small gestures like a handwritten thank you note or something else that really makes you stand out can lead a huge lasting impact only because they're so rare. They're much rarer than you think. So if there's one lesson for anyone here and who's really early in their career, it's that relationships are built through genuine curiosity and small acts of care. Next is proactivity, and this one kind of goes into what I was talking about before, but it's taking initiative and asking questions. Brandon Wilson really said it bluntly, the world's not going to come knocking on your door. You have to go out and create your own momentum. Obviously, this applies to building relationships like I just talked about before, but it goes way beyond that. Whether you're volunteering for a new project, reaching out to a mentor, or simply showing up consistently, initiative is what separates the people who get noticed from those who don't. Brandon Clark really summed it up with that old Woody Allen line, 90% of life is just showing up. If you can combine curiosity with consistent persistence, doors will open for you. Please just show up. Next, number three in the learning phase is the little things. Now, these can be applied in a lot of different ways. Nick Dove, for example, called out really sloppy mistakes, things like typos or missed deadlines. These are small errors that really signal carelessness. And I want to point out here that there's a difference between avoidable mistakes and real mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to fail. That's fine. The key is to not make avoidable mistakes. Things like spelling something wrong, spelling someone's name wrong, whatever it may be, do the little things right, because those are extremely important to not seem lazy or careless or anything like that. This also kind of goes into just generally how you live your life. So Dave McClurg shared his four just timeless golden rules. Show up early, finish what you start, say please and thank you, and do those things 100% of the time. And they sound really simple, they do. But these small habits will really separate you, and you don't realize how much it'll separate you from the next person. Please just do them. Attention to detail and reliability are not glamorous, right? They're not going to be super flashy, but they will compound over time and they will work for you. People will always remember who follows through. Finally, number four is learning effectively. Essentially, it's learning how to learn. So, Marissa Zen Stafford described this as learning agility, essentially, the ability to recognize mistakes, reflect, and adapt quickly. It's one thing to make mistakes, and it's another to learn from that mistake, but it's a whole different ballgame to learn quickly to get through it. You will always be learning things. If you can pick those up quickly, you're going to be at a huge advantage. The difference between average performers and high potential leaders isn't really whether making mistakes in the first place, it's just how fast they can learn from them. Brandon Wilson really echoed this with the idea of adaptability. Staying open, shifting perspective, updating your approach when new information comes in. You have to be adaptable. You have to learn quickly. The best learners don't just absorb knowledge, they're going to iterate really fast. And they use reflection, so going back and thinking about it, as a tool for real-time growth. So always think about what you're doing, what mistakes you've made, and learn from those. Okay, now let's get into leading applications. So as your career evolves, the focus naturally is going to shift towards leading. Right? You're going to be guiding others, shaping cultures, creating impact beyond yourself. And across the interviews, five applications of the learning leading spiral really stand out. And those are self-leadership, relationships, culture, the Stockdale paradox, and encouragement. So let's start with self-leadership. This starts internally. Nick Saban, one of the most successful sports coaches of all time, said, "We all get to decide every day if we have it in us." That mindset of daily choice is at the heart of self-leadership. Before you can lead others, before you can set anything and dictate what others do and truly lead them, you have to lead yourself. You have to manage your own habits. You have to manage your own energy, your mindset. This means holding yourself accountable, but also staying disciplined, finding that intrinsic motivation, not just chasing some external reward. Leaders who really, really master this self-leadership will build credibility through example. Their actions are going to set the tone for the people around them. Just remember, you cannot lead others if you can't lead yourself. It starts with you. Next is relationships. Again, I talked about this in the learning cycle, but I think it's just as important for leading. When you move into leadership, relationships don't go away. They're just going to evolve. So now it's less about networking and more about trust, empathy, empowerment. I think Tanner Natsky really said this well in an episode recently. He talked about how not only does he network up, so he's talking to people who are, where he wants to go, people who are in positions of greater authority than he is, but he's also networking side to side, so his peers and down. He's literally trying to network with people who could be working for him, but that's because he learns more. He could be working for them someday. And you never know where people are going to end up. So not only do you want to network up with people who are where you want to go, keep networking with your peers, network with people below you. It will pay off. Now, relationships go beyond networking. They're really the people who you work with consistently. For example, Carl Sampt, a CEO who leads tons of people, says that leaders must communicate with authenticity and transparency. So people always know where they stand. You don't want to leave people out in the dark or leave them questioning where they're at. Dale Carnegie, author of How to Win Friends and Influence People, talks about how appreciation is still the deepest principle in human nature. Appreciate the other people you work with. Build those relationships. True leaders are always going to admit mistakes, lead with humility, and make people feel seen and supported. It's built on trust. Trust is the foundation. Be empathetic, earn people's trust, and that you will succeed as a leader. Now, what does leadership actually look like? And that's essentially what culture is. Culture is number three on this list. Eric Olson, who started his own digital marketing agency, talked about how culture all comes from you. You are the leader. Whether consciously or not, The environment you create is going to be shaping the behavior of the people on your team and the people you're ultimately leading. Bill Binch talked about how he was working with a CEO who was just purely vicious about the mission. Not in a negative way, but with absolute conviction. He needed it. He wanted to get it done. And that rubbed off on everybody else. Mike Iben demonstrated how reinforcing core values every single meeting, every time he was talking to them, turns them from words into a real behavior. Culture always starts at the top, but it's also sustained by consistency. You have to stay consistent. Number four is the Stockdale paradox, and I encourage you to read the book Good to Great if you haven't already to learn more about this. But essentially, one of the more powerful leadership lessons comes from the Stockdale paradox, the idea of balancing unwavering faith in the end goal with a clear-eyed understanding of current reality. So Admiral Jim Stockdale survived 8 years as a prisoner of war by doing essentially that. He never lost faith, but he also never denied the brutal facts of his situation. Mike Iben described the same mindset when turning his company around. He said that he never doubted that we can do it, even though the situation was really scary in his own words, and he was fully confronting the fact that they were in a horrible position. The blend of optimism and realism, having faith and also discipline, is what allows leaders to guide others through uncertainty. Number five is encouragement. Dave McClure called it the most valuable skill a leader could have because essentially it eliminates doubt, which is the biggest barrier to great work. Charles Schwab famously said that people perform better under a spirit of approval than they will ever do under criticism. Dale Carnegie added that the best leaders give the other person a fine reputation to live up to. Essentially, one of your ultimate goals as a leader is to encourage the people around you. Make them confident. Make them feel like they can do it. Because if they believe it, if you can make them think it, then they will do it. It's not just praise. I'm talking about belief. It's the act of seeing potential in someone and helping them see it too. Every single guest I spoke to shared with me that at some point in their lives, someone's belief in them changed their career, some in little ways and some in massive ways, but always for the better. Encouragement is huge and is way more impactful than you realize. So, that's it. When we put it all together, the definition of success, the mindsets, the spiral, and now the applications, a really clear pattern emerges. Success isn't built from a single breakthrough moment or a perfect plan. It's really built from the soft skills, from your core values, from being curious, being humble, being consistent, and applying these all over again. You are going to learn by showing up, by asking questions, by paying attention to the little things. You're going to lead by modeling accountability, building trust, setting a culture, and encouraging others to believe in themselves. And through that cycle, learning and leading and back again, it's just an ongoing process, you will create both personal fulfillment and success for you and your team. And that's what the series and really the whole podcast is about. Understanding that business and leadership aren't hard when you focus on the right things. Thanks for listening to this four-part mini-series. If you've been following along, I would love to hear what stood out to you. Please let me know. I'll be back soon for new conversations, new guests, and new interviews that I'm really excited to share with you. But for now, I hope you enjoyed learning a little bit more about what I've gotten through this project. Until then, keep learning, keep leading, and remember, keep building something great. Thanks for tuning in.